Penguin Random House Audio presents Flirting with Danger, The Mysterious Life of Marguerite Harrison, Socialite Spy, by Janet Wallach. Read for you by Saskia Marleveld. To Jordan, who fills me with joy. Prologue. She was always drawn to adventure, lured by the blurry beyond. She traveled by ship, by train, by horse, by donkey, by car, by cart, and by foot through windstorms, blizzards, and blazing heat. She loved the salty spray of the ocean, the sweep of sand in the desert, the crunch of mountain snow. It all made her feel content. On this trip, she had sailed from New York to France on the SS Lafayette and overnighted to Turkey on the Orient Express, stopping in Constantinople and then continuing on to Ankara by animal and araba to Anatolia and by ancient car to Damascus and across the Syrian desert to Iraq. Now, on a rain-soaked day in March 1924, she was in Baghdad, a smartly dressed American woman in a British colonial building with a letter introducing her, Mrs. Marguerite Harrison, to the British High Commissioner, Sir Percy Cox. Sir Percy may have been too polite to ask, but surely he wondered why she was actually here, where she had been, and what her real intent was. The arrival of an American woman in Baghdad was an uncommon event. Then again, she was an uncommon woman. A privileged child of the Gilded Age, she married a man her mother despised, and when she was left a widow at 37, she rebelled again. She refused to wear widow's weeds and went to work as a reporter, a culture critic, an author, a filmmaker, and a spy. An insatiable traveler and relentless explorer, she overcame sickness, hunger, cold, heat, and wet, and risked her life through war zones in Europe, contested lands in Far Eastern Asia, and unmapped regions of the Middle East. With an unusual passion for history, she saw the world with a prescient view and a rare understanding of political consequences. Her top secret reports won high praise. Thanks to her good looks and advice she received in her youth, she hid her intellect, turned on her charm, and never lacked for male companions, whether platonic or otherwise. Be intellectual if you must, she was taught, but learn to be charming. It will take you much farther. Her escapades began at Radcliffe with a secret fiancé and continued to Rome, where, as a debutante, she was courted by a dreamy-eyed diplomat who turned out to be a rebellious young Turk. Much later, she traveled to Berlin as a foreign correspondent, the first American woman to arrive in the enemy country after the Great War. She smoked, she drank, she wore her best evening dresses, dined with monocled counts, and danced with ardent socialists. Then she stole into Moscow, where she had a brief encounter with Trotsky at the Kremlin and a lengthy stay in prison at the infamous Lubyanka. But why? She sipped tea in Tokyo with the Emperor of Japan and drank sour milk in Outer Mongolia with natives who had never bathed in their lives. She joked with generals, flirted with foreign ministers, and amused businessmen, some of whom fell madly in love with her. And all the while she trod on dangerous turf. But how? And why? Her British host suggested at once that she see Miss Gertrude Bell, a confidant of King Faisal. Mrs. Harrison had an image in mind of the well-known Miss Bell, a hard, masculine type with a formidable facade and an even more resilient interior. As she waited in Miss Bell's office, with its high ceilings and tall French windows overlooking the Tigris, the surroundings seemed to confirm her thoughts. Never had she seen such a disorderly place, unladylike to say the least, with papers everywhere. Books, pamphlets, reports strewn across the enormous desk, piled on the upholstered divan, stacked on the straight-backed chairs. Miss Bell swept in, looking as different from her mental picture as Baghdad looked from New York. She was the essence of femininity. Her features were fine, her hair well-coiffed, her gray velvet frock fresh from Paris. She was not so different, in fact, from her American guest. They eyed each other carefully and sized each other up with some suspicion. Miss Bell rarely found women to match her standards. Mrs. Harrison rarely encountered women known to be so tough. Each, however, quickly found a soulmate. They were two daughters of the Gilded Age, scions of prominent families with gobs of money and generations of good lineage. Physically similar at 5'6", with auburn hair and blue-gray eyes, the British piercing, the Americans sparkling, each had a shapely figure, stiff spine, and self-assured bearing. Each was highly intelligent, fluent in at least 5 languages, well-educated with an interest in world affairs, a strong knowledge of European literature, and an appreciation of the arts. Each loved riding, hiking, and flowers, and each had a passion for stylish clothes. Both were indefatigable travelers and stalwart explorers. But driven by what? Was it to escape their domineering mothers? Or to follow in the adventuresome steps of their fathers? Or was there something more? Each of them was patrician. Was each of them also a spy? Feminists, not by their words, but by their deeds, they did a man's work in mapping new territory and mining new information. In addition, Miss Bell was a worthy diplomat, Mrs. Harrison a worthwhile reporter, who had recently interviewed Mustafa Kemal, soon to be known as Ataturk, the new ruler of the new Turkish Republic. Questions flew, from conditions in Turkey to the issues of Mosul and the situation in Iraq. Mrs. Harrison was eager to meet King Faisal, newly created monarch of the newly created state of Iraq, who relied on Miss Bell for much of his political life. She did not, however, have much success in posing her questions. Miss Bell fired hers as rapidly as shots from a rifle, but Mrs. Harrison would have another chance. "I'm having a dinner this evening," Miss Bell announced. "You must come to my house." There would be a handful of guests, all of them important men, with good conversation in the proper dining room, continuing afterward over coffee and brandy on the chintz-covered chairs in front of a fire in the cozy drawing room. Miss Bell would wear her blue velvet gown, and the talk would ramble on among her friends. Late into the night, Mrs. Harrison held them all under her spell. "She is an American traveler and writer, and an exceptionally brilliant woman," Miss Bell wrote home to her father. Another discussion in the office was arranged for the following day, and after 2 hours, the American was asked to dine again. This time the group would be larger and would go off to a ball at the British residency, where the king would be in attendance. He had mentioned that he wanted to meet the American woman. Like Scheherazade, she beguiled her new acquaintances with her tales. But which were true, and which were missing large pieces? Spies have their own truths. She would have more tales to tell, more secrets to hide after she left Iraq, on her way to Iran in search of a wild nomadic tribe. In a day or so, she would be off, hearing the call of her mysterious past and heeding the cry of her future. Part 1 Chapter 1 Willkommen. The Anhalter Bahnhof, Berlin's gateway to the Kaiser's once mighty realm, seemed a shadow of itself on this January night in 1919. The crackle of guns was too far off to be heard, but the silence of fear muffled the usual hurly-burly and pervaded the ghostly hallways of the Romanesque railway station. No welcome mat greeted the few arriving passengers, only armed soldiers who guarded their path. Diplomats in derbies and soft dove gloves, movie stars in silks and feathers, bankers with waxed mustaches and starched collars had once disembarked here from Prague, Vienna, Paris, and Rome. Tonight, the tired travelers who emerged from the Kassel train were mostly demobilized German soldiers returning from the war, or businessmen hoping to find orders for their wares and services. But there was one smartly dressed American woman. Her shapely figure wrapped in a fur coat, auburn hair tucked in a fur hat, and manicured hands warmed in a muff. Marguerite Harrison moved through the soaring arches on her way to adventure. Outside the station's entrance, moonlight beamed from a clear, dark sky, revealing empty streets where lines of taxis once stretched. Fatigued, yet exhilarated, she sat down on her leather luggage, crossed her legs at her ankles, and waited. Something would come along. It always did. She had made the trip to Berlin via Paris to Koblenz, and then to Frankfurt in an unheated train filled with shivering workers on their way to factories in the east. Arriving on the enemy soil of Frankfurt in the pitch black of 5 a.m.,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?